Hello everyone and welcome to Eat Life News, a show dedicated to bringing you all the latest headlines, scoops and narratives going on in the crazy world of Ethereum. I'm your host Dennis Omer, we're joined by my co-host DeFi Dude and Liz from Brighton. So DeFi Dude, apart from everyone going crazy about the ETH all-time high, which is amazing, there's still been an incredible amount of news, fundamental news, coming from Ethereum in the last 7 days. I remember like last week, our podcast was dominated by Layer 2 news a lot. The week before that, it was NFTs. But this week's most important news seemed to be coming from large multinational global companies that are turning their attention to crypto and kind of providing new services. And it seems like crypto is kind of mixing with the conventional world. So what's going on this end?
Yeah, there's a lot going on this end. One of the first things I guess can bring up is the Visa announcement or collaboration with, you know, Ethereum and Visa. So basically Visa kind of announced that, there's going to be transactions on their network that are settled in USDC. So right now, you know, Visa, the credit card, debit card, whatever it is, it's a huge global payments network. 42% of the credit card market is actually Visa. You know, you've got MasterCard, who's at, I think, around 30%. So market cap, $500 billion on Visa. You know, everyone knows Visa. It's huge. They announced that users will be able to settle transactions with USDC on Visa. Crypto.com is going to be one of the first people to be able to test this with their Visa branded cards. And basically what it means to be able to like settle it is, you know, when you're out going and buying groceries and you're paying with your Visa, typically, you know, you're paying with your money from your bank account, goes from your USD in your bank to them, you know. But if it's settled with USDC, you can hold this USDC. And, you know, when you buy those groceries, you don't have to use your, you know, regular USD. It's just your USDC directly, you know, from your card to the merchant. On the back end, you know, it doesn't need to be converted to USD or anything first. It just gets sent, you know, to Visa as USDC. So that's super cool.
Wow, that is incredibly exciting. Imagine that's actually paying cryptocurrencies for everyday things. It's actually happening. You know, there were so many layers and barriers and friction to this, but this is how easy it is right now, you know, to spend crypto. If you have USDC, which many people do and many people have it loaned out in DeFi, that can be unloaned and that can be spent if required. That's incredible. I'm super excited about that. And okay, it starts off with USDC, but it's still USDC is pretty reputable. It was founded by Coinbase and Circle, and we know it's one-to-one backed by the USD. And the current value of USDC is $11 billion, so it is pretty big. And I expect to see it grow even more as it becomes, you know, something that you can pay with. It's also cool that you mentioned Visa, because PayPal have also launched a crypto checkout services for their US consumers to the millions of online merchants using cryptocurrency. So what that means is if a customer holds Bitcoin or Ether or Litecoin, they can actually pay with crypto through PayPal to any of these millions of merchants. And that's crazy. I think in the back end, unlike Visa, it does get converted to fiat currency on the fly. So it will be converted to USD on the fly. But they mentioned that I think 29 million merchants would be available in the coming months. Yeah, it's not as cool as maybe direct payments, but it's still an amazing thing. And I think there was also news of a certain company having an IPO, right? What was that about?
Yeah, we've got Coinbase coming in with news on their IPO. So I think it was kind of rumored a couple months ago, and then they kind of, you know, there was a public announcement or, you know, they filed for it. But long story short, they just recently announced that they got the, you know, all clear to list on NASDAQ. It's going to be the 14th of April. Coinbase is going to be listing. Their ticker is going to be COIN, which, you know, I think is a great ticker for Coinbase and their stock. Right now it's in, you know, in the private market, it's trading at around like $343 million, I believe, when I checked. So it's current valuation of around like $68 billion. I know there was some like estimates as far as its valuation. I don't remember who did it, but they were pretty high up there. So, you know, we wouldn't be surprised if this jumps up and retail kind of goes nuts over this thing. We'll be really awesome to see that. And on a side note, speaking of Coinbase, they actually, some more news with them and Layer 2 and stuff, kind of, they have their non-custodial wallet. So this is, you know, the Coinbase app or the wallet app that lets you like actually control your funds, use DeFi, that kind of stuff. They added support for Optimism testnet. So, you know, whenever Optimism mainnet's around, you know, it kind of shows that, yes, Coinbase is aware of Optimism. They're planning on supporting it, and they're kind of ahead of the game, you know, already supporting the testnet. So this is going to be awesome, having some of these really popular wallets support Optimism.
Nice. And we will get to Layer 2 stuff later on as well. But I think it was Sunday, I woke up and I opened Twitter, and it was like everyone was sharing this video from Saturday Night Live, where apparently there was this parody. And I mean, the whole skit was based on NFTs. Well, it was trying to explain NFTs, rather. It basically had Janet Yellen. She was speaking to a university economics class, I think, when she was asked about NFTs, and then there's this rap thing. I mean, you're from that side of the world. Like, how did you see this this video?
Yeah, so I mean, I think it was hilarious. I liked it. I kind of saw, you know, a mix of emotions. People were like, "Oh, that's dumb." You know, I actually showed some of my friends from Europe, my buddy, and he's like, "What are you guys doing over there?" Like, he's not a fan of SNL, clearly, but you know, it does have a big following. You know, SNL is great, and I think they put it right. You know, it's kind of funny just to watch all this confusion, like, what the hell is an NFT? So yeah, really awesome. Just bring that to mainstream. You know, people kind of start asking questions, you know, if it's on SNL, well, what the hell is an NFT? And so they did kind of explain it a little bit in the funny video, you know, which was awesome. But it definitely is going to pique curiosity for people, make them, you know, look into NFTs more and just kind of see what, you know, what's going on with all this stuff. And actually, within the past 24 hours, SNL announced that this, you know, this video they made, there was like a certain part of it that kind of had this cool digital NFT part to it. Well, they did NFT that, and they just announced that they are auctioning that now on OpenSea. I think just before this recording, their current bid was around $14,000. And you know, the cool thing is, there's a lot of people jumping on this and, you know, releasing their NFTs with some stuff that's really cool. But in addition to just having, you know, the cool, you know, little digital video and whatever it is, the winner of this auction is going to get two tickets to go see a live, it's the live taping of an SNL skit, whichever one works for this season. So
wow.
they'll get to go out there, and all the proceeds go to Stop AAPI Hate as well. So, you know, this money's going to a good cause, and the, you know, highest bidders not only get the NFT, but they get to get two tickets for that. So that's pretty cool.
Nice. And I heard our friend Beeple from last week, we mentioned how he immediately cashed out and sold like that $69 million that he received in Ether. Well, after taxes, it was like 50 something, which is ridiculous. I don't know who's pocketed like this 14, 15 million that's just gone. I don't know if it's just Christie's or is there someone else, because that's a ridiculous amount of money. Because I don't know, I think they might have included tax as well, but he was receiving 50 something million. Now that Ether is at over $2,000, that artwork would have been over 100 million in today's money, as in after 2 weeks, which is crazy. Just something I thought I'd point out. Apart from last Sunday, I think it was also April Fool's Day, like 1st of April. Like, everyone celebrates. This is crazy. I'm just trying to remember. What day was it? Thursday. So, oh my God, going on Twitter and like, you know, it's ridiculous. Everyone's trying to pull like a rug pull. I don't know. I wouldn't call it a rug pull. It's just everyone's, you know, messing around and coming up with funny things. And some of it was so funny. I was actually in a meeting with some people, and they mentioned like, Messari's having an IPO. Have you heard? And I'm like, oh damn, how did we miss that? We need to see if we can get in. Like, you know, that's going to be an awesome ICO. And then it's only after the call that we look closer, and it's like, oh, okay, it was an April Fool's, you know. Did you come across anything on April Fool's Day?
Yeah, there were some good ones. I'm probably like the least joyful person when it comes to April Fool's. You know, I recall that morning, it was not even 9 a.m. I'm sitting there on my phone on Twitter. I'm like, it's going to be a long day, but there were some good ones. You know, we have one of mine that I actually kind of wanted and actually tweeted about, like, why isn't this a real thing? Like, I would own it, wouldn't use it. But it was TradingView, you know, popular chart, whatever website. They announced crypto tarot cards, which is like, I'm not even really too familiar with tarot, but kind of like future reading or like stuff like that. But it was just cool because it was like, you know, you can predict the bull run or just, I don't know. I thought it was silly and like, you know, why not?
Did they have the graphics for it as well?
Yeah, they did. They actually had a physical one. And one of their people, I think it was the CMO, he actually commented on my thing and saying, well, coming soon, maybe, you know, so I think that they might actually bring it around.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, so get that just to sit on the shelf. But another one that I thought was kind of funny is Teletubbies. I don't know if you guys have that, if it's popular over by you, but here in America, very popular kids show. You know, just a bunch of little guys running. I don't even know how to describe them. They're not monsters, but yeah.
Yeah, I think that was a good description of little guys running around. Like,
yeah. So they announced Tubby Coin, which isn't an actual crypto. There's no blockchain. It's mostly just for fun. And long story short, like if it was tweeted or you shared it, basically they would give money to some child charity thing, you know. So I thought it was cool and I shared it, you know, just fun games. And then two more real quick ones. So we have Peter Schiff, you know, the famous anti-Bitcoin, you know, biggest Bitcoin bear to exist. He just said a simple tweet. I was wrong about Bitcoin. And that was just hilarious.
I think that's a joke on Peter Schiff himself, you know, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately, yep. But then the last one, which kind of like wasn't really a favorite of mine, but I thought was almost a little dangerous, is like, I don't know who it was exactly. I tried finding this right before this. I could not. But Circle or someone from Circle or USDC or something, they basically, you know, it's April Fool's, you kind of expect it, but they were like breaking. Federal Reserve or something adopts USDC for something. You know, I don't know the exact words, so I'm not going to try and quote it exactly. But all I know is like, that's, you know, that can almost be dangerous, I feel like, to be tweeting something like that, you know, even though it's not true. Like, there's a fine line, I think, where you can go with April Fool's tweets when it comes to like you being behind a project or a business. I'm not saying they crossed it, but I'm just saying, you know, there are some times where it gets quite close. So
yeah. You know why you have a point? Because if that was the case, I mean, think of what we mentioned before with Visa, with billions of customers. You said what, 40% of all credit cards. So it wouldn't be that crazy. Okay, yeah, maybe the Fed adopting USDC, you know, but using in some capacity, that's coming. In like I'm sure in like 5-10 years it might be real, you know? So it's an interesting April Fool's. The one that I liked, another one that I saw, was EIP 3445. And basically, this is to give Ethereum a pseudo command. So basically, to allow anyone to give them admin, super admin privileges on Ethereum. So they could, like, you know, unlock all the, there's $17 billion in that 0x000 address. So they could go unlock that. Anyone could take it. And it was so cool. There was like serious discussion around this with people commenting how they liked it, but they were worried about the security implications. That was so cool. So apart from April Fool's, though, serious stuff, what's happening on the DeFi side?
Yeah, lots going on in DeFi as usual. You know, people never sleep in DeFi. So one of the recent things is Element Finance, which I just recently came across. They announced they raised $4.4 million from A16Z, Scalar Capital. You know, you got popular DeFi people like Stani from Aave, Mariano Conti, you know, Robert Leshner, Lubin, all these people. So they raised basically what Element Finance is or what they're building towards. It's kind of like a fixed rate yield platform. You know, it's a huge area in conventional finance, but, you know, kind of not so much in DeFi, although it is growing. So their actual mainnet release isn't available, but it's coming very, very soon. They're a great team of people, Johnny Rea, Charles St. Louis, you know, some of these very well-known people as well. And what I found really cool about it is like the way they're approaching it. Again, I don't know a ton about it, but say that you want to lock up your 10 ETH. So you'll put the 10 ETH in Element Finance and, you know, it basically splits it. So you get your 10 ETH represented token, as well as then there's going to be a separate token that is representing the yield that you'll get after the, you know, whatever term your loan is. Again, I don't know exactly technical how they're doing it, but they kind of just split it up. And I think that's kind of their, you know, what they're going for. But we'll curious to see how it goes and how it works once they're released.
Nice. Yeah, that sounds really cool. This was also the week SushiSwap gave their big Q1 update. They've been really busy and there's been like UI stuff, and I think their smart contracts are being formally verified, and they announced that they also deployed on Polygon, on XDAI, on Moonbeam, on Phantom, on Binance Smart Chain. So they're really trying to spread and, you know, being on all platforms. I think they also announced that, okay, Joseph DeLong, I think we'd mentioned it previous weeks, that he had joined the team. And they have a few other products as well. I think they have Bento Box and Kashi, which allows, I think, margin trading and token vaults. So, and it was kind of weird, or I don't know, some people like thought it was cool that some fund has paid an incredible amount of money to buy the sushi.com domain. So now, you know, anyone who goes to sushi.com can go and, you know, yield farm, I guess. Apart from that, there were a few other DeFi product releases. So Charm Finance released its cube tokens, and it's pretty cool. Like, each one of these cubes that you can buy is basically a 3x leveraged long positions, and they're all the ERC20s, and each one represents a different token. I don't know like what the different ones were, but you can also buy inverse cubes as well, which is basically a short position. And their material mentioned how the rebalancing happens continuously, so you can't easily be front run, as opposed to, for example, FTX's system. And they also mentioned that, you know, there's a little fee system, and 80% of fees goes to the, you know, 80% of fees taken from deposits and withdrawals goes back to the Cube token holders, while the remaining 20% goes to the protocol. And there's also a TVL cap of 100 ETH just for safety. Let's see if they just keep raising that ceiling, or if other audits happen, or, you know, what's going to happen. Sometimes teams just, you know, they put a safety valve in there and then they just blow right through it and then they get hacked, which I hope this doesn't happen. I don't think it will. But, you know, they also have options trading as well. You can trade Charm options, so it's pretty cool. You can check that out. And then you might also have, I don't know if you heard about it, like Fae Protocol. It's been getting a lot of attention recently. And that's basically a stablecoin, which has, I'm not sure exactly how it works. It has this uncapped supply and it uses something called a protocol controlled. Okay, so it has an uncapped supply where Fae kind of can enter circulation via bonding curve, but not the other way around. I don't know how exactly the system works. And, you know, they've also introduced this concept called the protocol controlled value. And this is where the platform itself owns the assets locked in the smart contracts, and it can actually deploy it as liquidity. There were some confusing concepts that maybe I didn't understand, but they've just held their issuance and they've actually minted, like people can go and mint Fae tokens, and there's over 285 million in Fae tokens have been issued. So these early minters will also be receiving a Tribe token. Yeah, these are just a taste of maybe four or five different companies coming out with new different things. They're innovating, but we just, like, every week we might cover three or four, but there's maybe 40, 50 new projects coming out every week. It's incredible, like editing this and picking whichever one, whatever we're going to cover, is such a challenge just because there's so much going on. You know, even by this next section, layer two, like, you know, we had so much news last week and here we are another week. And then we have a ton more news related to layer two. So DeFi, dude, what's happening on the layer two side?
Yeah, a lot going on. You know, as you said, never ending. We got Aave. They recently, they published a blog post that kind of just explains their journey on Ethereum so far. It's been pretty cool, but they, you know, they're definitely ETH bulls. You know, they see Ethereum layer one as like the future settlement layer. But, you know, layer two, they're open, you know, as the transaction layer, which, is, you know, probably why they made the move just recently to deploy on Polygon or Matic. Recently they went from Matic to Polygon branding. But basically it allows, you know, you to use Aave on this layer two for almost free. You know, I was using it, and, you know, to just send tokens on Polygon or Matic, it's like less than a penny, I feel like. So, you know, interacting with a smart contract, probably just a little more, but still paying a few cents to borrow DAI as opposed to doing it on mainnet, where it would pay, you know, you'd have to pay like $50, $100 even, and sometimes huge step. You know, that it's really awesome to see them on an L2, kind of like one of the first, I wouldn't say the first, but, you know, it is one of the first like bigger DeFi projects that are actually like making that move. It's available now to play with. So yeah, so that's really cool. We've also got updates from ZK Sync team. The ZK Sync team, you know, they're popular with, they were used on Gitcoin and lots of other places using zero knowledge stuff. They met up in Dubai for discussions, workshops, brainstorming, all that good stuff to finally polish like the final stuff for their ZK Sync 2.0 design. They recently published a blog post sharing their plans. Definitely check that out. They've got their testnet in May, mainnet in August. That's kind of the ETA. And right now they're kind of estimating things at like 20,000 transactions per second. Scalability is beyond ZK rollups, I guess. I'm not exactly sure how they would achieve that, but we will see again once they're live. Looking forward to that. It also does something that's cool with it is it has native support of all Ethereum wallets just because of the signature scheme they're using. Again, that's a little above my head just because, you know, I'm not a ZK expert in any sense, but yeah, it's really good that it has native support in, you know, all of the wallets. And last on the L2 list, out of, you know, the 50 things we could have covered, I guess, is the synthetics. So staking synthetics token, it's, you know, really expensive right now, as is pretty much every other L1 dApp. So it's just like with synthetics specifically, the reward payout, it's like not even worth claiming a lot of the time, just because, you know, the gas costs that you're going to have to pay to get your reward, that gas cost usually exceeds that reward you'll be receiving in return. So the staking dApp is, you know, it's compatible with Optimism on Ethereum on layer two, meaning so you can stake your synthetics now on layer two and therefore benefit, you know, with much cheaper gas costs, just because, you know, if you're staking on layer two, you're not going to have to claim it for $50 or $100 just to get your $50 back. So yeah, they have a blog post on that as well, showing how easy it is to switch over. So if you're on synthetics layer one, you want to try out their synthetics layer two, definitely check that out. Check out that blog post and get it set up there. Yeah, so that kind of covers L2s. I think we got some NFT news. Did you want to touch on some NFT stuff, Dennis?
On the NFT side, as it has been for weeks now, for months now, there is a lot happening. It's getting super hard to keep track. So maybe like one update on the market side of NFTs is that Super Rare announced that they raised $9 million. And they raised them from super like A-list Silicon Valley investors like Naval, like Mark Cuban, like Mark Benioff, Chamath, Ashton Kutcher. Like these guys are proper Silicon Valley, you know, celebrity investors. And it's so cool to see them recognize the value in this space and to get into it. And the cool thing about Super Rare, what kind of makes them stand out from a few other kind of open marketplaces, is that they only sell super rare stuff. It's kind of funny, you know? That's what it's describing itself. So everything they sell is a single edition one of one. You know, sometimes other ones release 10 of 10 or it might be unlimited, whereas here it's just one of one. And how it goes is, for each sale, Super Rare actually earns 3% transaction fee, plus there's a 15% gallery fee on primary sales. But once the NFTs are sold, anytime they're resold in the future, then the creator gets a 10% commission. And that's a super cool thing. That's something that really couldn't be done with conventional technology until now, because of, you know, the asset like ownership wasn't strong enough or programmable enough. But now you can do it. So what else is happening in the space of NFTs?
Yeah, I mean, as we've seen the past few weeks and months even, you know, still got more famous people jumping on board with NFTs, you know, seems to be at a steady rate. We actually have The Weeknd, you know, popular singer-songwriter, who is releasing an NFT today on Nifty Gateway. It's actually happening like just a couple hours after this very recording we're doing now. So we'll be interesting to see where that goes. I mean, he's very famous, but does he really know what's going on in the NFT world? Is he just jumping on the bandwagon? I'm not sure. So we'll see. We've also got Pac, who is a, you know, highly known digital artist in the crypto NFT space. I would say like runner up to almost Beeple level, but again, you know, that might just be me. He's also been seen to have ties in the past to Elon Musk. So it's just, you know, very interesting, you know, well known. But he does have an art auction going on Sotheby's. I hope I'm saying that right. Starting April 12th, Sotheby's is basically like another Christie's, which is, you know, a famous popular auction house. That's where Beeple held his auction. So from April 12th to April 14th, his auction is going to be there. We'll be curious to see. I'm almost curious, you know, will the buyer, because with Beeple's, we saw the buyer was Meta Purse or Meta
Metaverse.
Yeah, something. Yeah, yeah. Very, very crypto guy. But with Pac, I feel like his art is a little, you know, more appealing to someone who might not even be crypto native or, you know, crypto aware at all. So, I'm also curious to see, like, will a buyer of this be someone who's just, you know, an art collector? But, you know, I have high hopes. I think this is going to be a very big sale as well. It's maybe not as big as Beeple's, but we will see. Outside of that, we do have Palm NFT. You know, it's a joint venture from Consensus. You've got HEN Group and Heyday Films. You've got a bunch of people who are kind of collaborating. And essentially what Palm, you know, in short is going to be is like a competitor to Flow is the way that, you know, it was kind of mentioned to me. So basically they're kind of aiming for like a highly efficient, energy efficient blockchain that kind of focuses on NFTs, you know, just because, well, it's not going to be like on Ethereum. It's not going to be on a main chain. It is, they're totally complete different thing. They have their first collaboration will be with Damien Hirst on what is called the Currency Project. And he is one of the most famous contemporary artists. You know, he was famous for the shark and other animals which are preserved. So yeah, we're looking forward to see, you know, the art that comes out of that. I think that's kind of, you know, the bulk of NFT this week. What else do we have on the list, Dennis?
Yeah, from there, it's also worth mentioning the ETH Global Scaling Hackathon. So everyone knows and loves ETH Global and their hackathons. Like over the years, they've contributed so much to the development of different areas of Ethereum. and they really like to focus on, you know, what are strong growth opportunities. Like it was DeFi, so they had like a DeFi hackathon, or they would go before COVID, you know, they'd go all around the world to Denver, to many, many different places and hold hackathons. And they've just announced that they're going to be holding a scaling hackathon from April 16th to May 14th. And there's a lot of prize money. I think it's way over 50,000. And like, it's sponsored by Arbitrum, by Optimism, by Starkware, by ZK Sync, by like, there's so many different sponsors. And it's like the who's who of scaling solutions. So they're all, you know, in this. And Vitalik will be the judging. There will be other people judging. There will be talks. I'd recommend you go and read more on it at scaling.ethglobal.co, especially if you're a developer or you just want to see the talks. It's definitely worth going. And the cool thing is that there's actually a few different initiatives happening in Ethereum right now that will kind of support the scaling hackathon. So the first one is that ProtoLambda announced that the Ryanism project is live. So basically, this is a project with ETH1 and ETH2 clients to build an Ethereum merge testnet, you know, during the hackathon. It'll also allow sharding to be on top of it, but it's kind of a testnet where people who are hacking there can go and try it out. And not only that, last week we also had the cat herders kind of ETH1, ETH2 merge implementation call. And after that, Nethermind tweeted that they could see a clear road for multi-client ETH1 and ETH2 devnets. And afterwards, Nethermind tweeted that from that call, from the cat herders call, you know, they said, I think the quote was that they could see a clear road for multi-client ETH1, ETH2 devnet, which is, I think, like the merge net. And that can also be used in ETH Global scaling hackathon as well. That's really cool. And it was cool to see the Nethermind kind of quote where they said the merge is going to happen sooner than expected. I think we also had the all core devs, right? What happened there?
Yeah, so the all core devs meeting, it was actually taken over by Tim Baiko. It was recently ran by Hudson Jameson. They gave us, you know, kind of a picture of the latest developments. You know, we've got the Berlin update. It's live on testnet. I believe it's estimated to, you know, go live on April 14th, roughly. I don't know the exact block number on hand, but wallet devs definitely need to try and test it out. As well as like app developers and stuff like that. So we've also got the London update, which you know, is going to be including EIP 1559. I believe we briefly talked about that on a previous episode, but London is going to be, you know, implementing that as well as many other things. And the scope is being kept tight, so, you know, we can hopefully hit that summer deadline, you know, which is, you know, summer 2021 is when it is estimated. But we will see. You know, we know how things have gone in the past, so just got to have high hopes there. The devs have already started planning for Shanghai as well. That was mentioned during the call, which is interesting.
So because that scope of the London update is being kept small, devs have already, you know, started thinking ahead to what's going into the Shanghai update. And I think there's like two options from what I understand. One of the options is, any EIP that didn't make it into London would go into Shanghai, or another option would be just focus on merging ETH1 and ETH2. I think those were the two different options on the table. And with that news, we will wrap up another interesting week. We hope you all keep hodling, biddling, and learning about this stuff. And we also hope you keep enjoying this, what's happening in the markets. It's been a great time for everyone. And with that, we're so happy to have you, the listener, come along for this crazy ride with us. So thank you again for listening, and until next time.
Thanks, everyone.
This podcast is supported by the awesome team at Kyber Network. For more information and to find out how Kyber Network provides liquidity to over 100 different dApps, wallets, and exchanges, check out kyber.network.